just praying for just to equip your personal prayer life to hopefully reinforce your understanding of what prayer is. Because sometimes when I say prayer, you know, I think Doberman and you think wiener dog, you know, just there's the word means different things to different people. So we want to walk through hopefully some helpful tips and tricks that I'm hoping is going to equip you. Some of this is going to be super review for maybe many of you, but I'm asking the Lord to give you revelation on different parts of it. You with me? Cool. Thank you. All right. How many of you have heard of the ACTS prayer model? Anybody heard of the ACTS prayer model? We're going to look at a little bit of that today. I had some surprises in there, but we'll throw it up on the screen and kind of define it. This is kind of an attempt to say, what is prayer? And these facets of prayer are adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. We're going to break down each one of these, put some verses behind it. But I just want to say, I've been the pastor of prayer here for 3 years now, and I feel like maybe the Western church, maybe to the global church, a lot of times we just kind of have a prayer model. Anybody experience that? The acts, the supplication? I just feel like so many people, when we say prayer, like if I invite most people to a prayer meeting, unless you're one of my prayer people, if I say, hey, come to this prayer meeting, I just kind of get this response, right? Most people have a prayer model. They believe that prayer is asking God for stuff, and that's powerful. It's wonderful. Intercession, supplication is incredible, and we need it. I have the walls of the house of prayer covered in stuff that you can come in and pray for. I want each of you in there every week interceding for our ministries and our pastors and elders, especially me. Pray for me every time you come in. It's great. But I want to just walk you through, because some of y'all may not have experienced, or maybe even you know about it, but you haven't enjoyed adoration, confession, thanksgiving. It's not necessarily the strongest part of your prayer life. That's just what the Lord was hinting to me as he prepared me to speak. Since Gary asked me in like April, I immediately knew what I wanted to talk about. And I praise the Lord for that. So we're going to walk through ACTS. I'm going to put that up one more time. The ACTS prayer model, the first slide. And I just want you to look at it. And if you don't have if you have notes, put them down. What's missing? Look at it for a second. What should be part of your thriving, flourishing, spirit-filled prayer life that's not on the list? Hearing God, listening. I'm hearing it all over. Yes. Okay, so that's why today you are the privileged first audience globally as I debut what I'm calling the actor's prayer model. Some of you know I was in theater for a really long time. I thought this was appropriate. We're adding response from God, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, hearing a response from God, and then also supplication, okay? So that you can tell your grandchildren, I was there the day the actor's prayer model debuted at Grace Community Church on July 14th, 2024. I don't remember the guy that said it, but he was an actor, and he said it was really cool. Okay, so we're going to go through each one of these points and put some scriptures behind it. And what I want you to do is use this as a diagnostic tool. Some of you may not approach your spiritual life from kind of an engineering, thought-filled, holistic perspective, but I want you to get into that mode. Think about your prayer life. Ask the Lord, just be in dialogue with Holy Spirit while I'm talking. Say, which of these is what my counselor would call a growth area? Well, we won't say weakness, we'll say growth area. Hopefully, some of you are strong at all five. I can think of some people that I'm like, you guys are acing all five. I personally don't ace all five all the time. Okay, so I'm just humbling myself and saying I suck at some of these periodically. So I want you guys to think adoration, confession, thanksgiving, response from God, supplication. Where's the growth area for you, and what can the Lord do to grow you in it? That's my goal today, is you leave with something that you held on to and went, I'm not as good at that, but now I know how to be better. Okay, so let's start with adoration. Adoration, the big A. I'm going to look at Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. Put that up. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Do you feel the adoration in the psalmist? Do you feel just like effusive, like overflowing with praise, can't stop talking about God and who God is and how wonderful he is and what he's done for me? Kind of that's the psalmist's attitude here. Some of us struggle with that. Some of us struggle with the adoration piece. Maybe you're uncomfortable with it because you just weren't raised in an environment that was healthy emotionally. You weren't raised and trained and disciplined in freedom of emotional expression, verbal expression, passion, all these wonderful things. I'm an artist. I love passion. I'm a decently words guy. I love words. Maybe you weren't there. Maybe you're uncomfortable. I'm speaking specifically, I think, to a lot of dudes. I'm speaking to you guys. I want to preface this as the pastor of prayer, just saying to relate to you guys, I am just as comfortable in a gun store as I am in a sporting goods store, as I am in a hardware store, as I am at a musical theater performance, as I am backstage and formerly wearing tights. I did wear tights one time as an actor. Well, I don't do that anymore. It's great. I was like 14. It was great. King of Hearts, big costume as well. So just to let you know, just to relate to you guys, I'm just as comfortable in all those places as many of you are. But I want to challenge, especially the men, and maybe some of you ladies aren't as emotionally connected as most, that's fine. Adoration. Adoration of God. Like listing things that you love and appreciate about our God that are scripturally true. Making that part of your prayer life, of your natural, holistic practice of communicating with God. That's all prayer is communicating with God. I just have an analogy the Lord brought to mind about kind of the bridegroom heart, which I think is one of the things that, in my experience, unlocks emotional appreciation for God in most people when we see Jesus Christ as our bridegroom. And that's a scriptural term. He's the King of Kings. He's coming back for a bride, right? The wedding banquet of the Lamb of God in Revelation. This is a appropriate scriptural relationship we have as the bride of Christ. You, if you're in Jesus right now, you're part of the bride of Christ and Jesus is your bridegroom. That's part of your identity. But any other guys ever struggle to connect with that? Just be honest. Anybody raise your hand. Anybody ever struggle, men, to connect with Jesus as your bridegroom? Some of y'all are being really lazy with your hands right now. So anybody else struggle to connect with Jesus as your bridegroom, okay? So yeah, most of you are just so not going with me right now, but that's okay. So what I want to do is just give you a way that the Lord kind of did some breakthrough in my heart. Praise God, I was raised in a pretty, you know, emotionally expressive in a lot of ways healthy home. I was comfortable in the presence of the Holy Spirit from a pretty early age. Praise God, I've been playing guitar in worship since I was like 14. So I get this. It hasn't been a huge struggle, but the bridegroom thing is pretty weird. I was in theater. I got to be careful how I talk about, you know, men as a bridegroom. I was in theater for 20 years. I understand. It's awkward, but it's not about sexuality. The scriptural concept is not about you wanting to have sex with a dude. Bridegroom theology is not about you trying to relate sexually to Jesus as a human man. And this is the breakthrough for me. I was struggling in my attempted relationship with this Emma Thoreau girl that I thought was really cute, and I kept asking her out, and she just kept saying no. It was horrible. It was a miserable year. Pastor Steve even pulled me aside and said, Joey, I don't think she's ever going to say yes. There's other fish in the sea. You ought to pursue somebody else. And Steve, if you're watching from Japan, I just want to say that's the only time I ever didn't take your advice, but I was right. I was right. I win. You were wrong, but I love you. Thanks for trying to advise me. So I pursued this girl, Emma, and I kept asking her out. And one day I was just going over the I-35 bridge, going to work over in the TCU area, teaching lessons at a school over there. And I was just weeping. I was probably unsafe to drive. I was just driving over the 35 bridge and just crying through a curtain of tears. God, I love this girl. Why doesn't she receive love from me? All I want to do is like emotionally support her and like play guitar for her prayer meetings and bring snacks for her ministry early in the morning and like serve her and take care of her and work really, really hard so maybe she doesn't have to work as hard because I provide for her and be close to her and be a safe place to listen to her and for her to speak and reveal her heart. And why? And Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus spoke right to my heart and said, how do you think I feel? And I went, I get it. I get the bridegroom heart now. Jesus' heart for you, and I'm speaking to you, man, we got a bunch of manly, strong, godly men in this congregation. Jesus' heart for you is to take care of you, for the buck to not stop with you. You are not the ultimate responsibility for your families and your jobs and your futures and the emotional well-being of your circle and your own health. The buck does not stop with you. Jesus says, I want to take the place that you want to be so passionately as a godly man for your family. Jesus says, I want to be that for you. That is the bridegroom heart of God. Nothing to do with sexuality. Praise God. That's what I want to capture, especially, I'm aiming at you guys, for the adoration piece of prayer, when you can say, thank you, Jesus, that the buck doesn't stop with me. Thank you, Jesus, that you want to be my rock, where I have to be my rock for my wife and my kids. You want to be a rock for me, where I have to provide for my kids and make sure they're taken care of and make sure my wife feels comfortable and is loved and is cherished and listened to. You want to do that for me. That's the heart of adoration towards Jesus as your bridegroom. And some of you ladies need to catch on to that too, but the adoration piece is so important, and I'm just praying that the Lord reveals that to you. If that's been a struggle for you in the past, may you have a breakthrough today that Jesus wants to take care of you, and you can adore him back unabashedly, unashamedly, effusively, verbally, in your prayer life, engaging with the Lord. Okay, that's point number one. That's the A. We've got to talk about confession. Okay, and this one is a sticky one. I've taught on this stage before. Confession. There's a lifelong message I think the Lord's given me to make confession accessible and easier and even enjoyable as a part of your prayer life. Let's look at a scriptural example. 1 John 1:9, if you're on Grace Community Church for any length of time, I hope you get this. I hope you memorize this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a promise, always works, always available to you. But we got to look at that word confess, because there's a ton of stigma on that English word. There's a ton of legal weirdness. There's a ton of, like, maybe you've been hurt because you admitted to something in the past. Let's look at the word that's translated into English. The word confess is the Greek homologeo, same word. If you know any Greek and Latin roots, homologeo, same word. It just means agree. It just means to be in the same word with somebody. Thayer's Greek lexicon says it's to say the same thing as another, or to agree, or to assent. That's all confession is. Some of us have this punishment mentality where we're afraid to confess our sins, especially to other people, but even to God, because we have this, God's going to smite me, kind of, God's going to punish me. Last time I confessed this thing, I broke the law, I had to pay a fine, or I had to go to jail, whatever your experience of confession has been in everyday life. You got to separate that from God's definition of confession. It's just homologeo. It's just agree with God. God, you say, don't do that thing. And I did that thing and that was wrong. That's confession. That's all it is. It doesn't have to have an emotional stigma. You don't have to fear punishment on it. Then there's repentance and the godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Those are pieces of your spiritual life you need to have. But confession is just agreeing with the Lord. So I'm just praying that this simple understanding of how to make confession part of your everyday life and your consistent walk with God is so freeing. It's so cleansing. I've been trying to be confessed up this week so that I could stand here with authority to talk about it, you know, just to agree with the Lord about what I've been doing and what I haven't been doing. That's confession. So I'm just asking the Lord to scrape the messy top of fear of punishment, any mistakes you've made and somebody hasn't treated you like God's going to treat you when you confess. Again, he's faithful and righteous to cleanse you and forgive your sins. That's what happens when you confess. So that's my prayer for that to be part of your prayer life, the C, confession. Homologeo, same word. Okay, we're going to look at Thanksgiving. This is one of my favorite things. Praise God, my mom modeled from an early age. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. Let's look at Psalm 100, verse 4. Get some scripture behind it. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Like, there's a promise to enter his gates part as a worship guy. That's huge for me. You get into the presence of God. One of the shortcuts to getting into the felt, manifest, Holy Spirit-filled, fruitful presence of God is thankfulness, a thankful heart. I want to challenge you. Some of y'all need to lead prayer times for your family. Some of you are my prayer leaders. I've got 70 volunteers that run the prayer ministry. Sometimes you have to lead a prayer meeting. You have to lead prayer with somebody else. And if you're in a dry environment and you're not feeling the manifest presence of God that hopefully you all are really addicted to and really, really enjoy, let me challenge you. You want to get there fast? Start thanking God for stuff. This needs to be a quick back pocket spiritual tool for you to enter his gates with thanksgiving. And you should start embarrassing yourself with how you run out of stuff and then you need to dig for more. You need to train the thanksgiving muscle. Thank you, God, for the feet to come into the room. Thank you, God, for the wheels to come into the room. Thank you, God, for the air conditioning. That's why I tried to start with the prayer of thanksgiving today. That's the shortcut into his presence. Here's another one. Philippians 4:6, another connection between prayer and thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Another one, Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So thanksgiving is a huge part of your prayer life, of your healthy communion with God, your connection with the Holy Spirit, your ongoing dialogue with the Lord in your spirit and with your words and with your mind, praying in the tongues and praying in the spirit and praying with your mind and praying with your mouth. It's a big deal. Put that in your pocket. Grow in thankfulness. It's so good. And let's look at the response from God. I mean, remember, this is not the act prayer method. This is the actor's prayer method. We got the R in there, response from God. And I really feel this is possibly the most neglected or the most, I don't know, misunderstood part of a prayer life. And I'm just going to homologeo with you a little bit. That's the part that I'm struggling with in this season, that I'm having to refresh, to just chill out and wait for a response from God. I got this job. I came on staff because people noticed I was relatively good at hearing from the voice of God and responding and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and aware of, you know, how to lead a room and what's God saying right now. And I praise God for that. But right now that I've been 8 years on staff, the chewing up of the pastoral responsibilities and the logistics and all that, I've gotten a lot stronger at the A and the C and the T and the S. But the response from God part is where I'm having, and if Emma will be here second service, and she'll, amen, yes, work on it, Joey. You know, she'll give us an amen, that this is an area that I just got to chill out. You know, I give up in the morning, and I spend time in the Word, and praise God, I still do that daily, even in the baby dude world. And I go through my list. God has put me in a place where I've got a list of intercession. I've got to bring certain names before the Lord and certain organizations and ministries and things before the Lord every day, and praise God, I'm faithful and I'm strong in intercession. I've woven thanksgiving into my life. I've enjoyed adoration and praise because I've seen the fruit in my own life. But the response from God piece, y'all, that's huge. The will you turn your phone off, or, you know, I go get up in the morning and I sit on the couch. That's my little holy spot in the morning. And I will literally make sure my phone is out of arm's reach. You know, I'll do the Bible app, right? You got to get my YouVersion trend or whatever. There's, you know, get all the days in a row, whatever. And I'll do my YouVersion Bible study, spend time in the Word. I will literally physically remove the phone from arm's reach. And I'm probably, I don't know if any of y'all are this way, it's probably within 24 hours the only time my phone is not within arm's reach. Anybody? You know, it's just like, I have to be purposeful. So that way I at least would have to consciously lean and grab the device to distract myself from prayer, right? It's just a practical tip. I didn't even put that in my notes. If you want to put your phone where you can't reach it when you spend time with Jesus, and you will be a lot better off listening to the voice of God, relaxing, chilling, no notification overload. But I challenge you, you are his sheep. He promises, my sheep hear my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. So if you are in Jesus, you have a promise from Jesus that you are designed to be an antenna to hear his voice and to hear a response from God. Let me make another quick marriage analogy. I mean, again, I've been 9 years with Emma, almost 9 years, almost 8 years married. I'm such a baby. Thank you for all of you that have survived longer than that. But like, if I tried to do the actor's model in my relationship, I'm going to talk about my most important relationship, but think about any relationship that's important to you. Like, if remember this prayer method? If it's just supplication, if the only communication you have with God is supplication and intercession, like if me and my wife, if I treated my wife like most Christians treat God, and all I did was ask her for stuff and ask her to do things for other people, any wives feeling bad about that? any husbands kind of squirming in your seat right now? And maybe if I just pick, I get two of them right. Maybe I just do the confession and the supplication part. Huge, millions of people in streams of the church. A+ confession and A+ supplication. But they might neglect some of the adoration, the thanksgiving, the response from God. So if you're A+ing confession and supplication with your wife, guys, if the only thing you ever do is tell her about your mistakes and ask her to do stuff for you, you set up for misery, gentlemen, you know. But you want to spend time in adoration for your spouse. And ladies too, we appreciate it. Please keep it up. Spend time in adoration of your friendships. You are so good at that. You know, when my dad comes home from work, my mom goes, conquering hero! And you want to talk about how to build a man up right there when the woman just goes, wherever she is in the house, conquering hero! You know, and my wife has set up this pattern. When I come home from work, if she and Josiah aren't just back in the room playing, if they notice me coming home, they just, yay! yay, and they get the adoration. That helps, man. The end of a 12-hour workday, and I walk in the door to yay. That's good. That's the pattern. Sometimes it's joy, the thing broke. That's fine. Sometimes that happens too. But a lot of times it's yay, you know. And sometimes Jesus comes into your life, and you go, Jesus, the thing broke, and he's that's okay. But when you greet him with adoration and thanksgiving, it helps. Think of this applied to your relationships, and make your relationship with God even better than the best that you want for your relationship with your spouse or your most important interactions with a human. Okay, let's talk a little bit about that S. Remember the S prayer model we talked about? Just supplication and intercession. Let's look at that from Philippians 4:6. Again, we're going to analyze a different part of this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So that needs to be part of your prayer life too. If some of y'all aren't feeling A+, super strong in your supplication, asking for stuff for yourself, or intercession, asking God for stuff for other people, maybe some of us, maybe we're too proud to ask. When Hebrews says he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him, you got to trust that he is. Your prayer life's going to be super dry if you have a functionally agnostic theology. You got to believe that he is, and you got to believe that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Your prayer life's going to be super yucky if you don't believe that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. If he genuinely, I don't have time to go into all the scriptures where Jesus says, you know, if you ask your father for a fish, is he going to give you a snake? You ask him for bread, is he going to give you a stone? No, if you then being evil know how to do good to your children, how much better is God going to do for you? Ask. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Don't neglect supplication because maybe you asked before and he didn't answer the way you wanted. It happens. It sucks. I hate a broken world too. Maybe you asked before and you didn't hear. We do whole classes in the G-Hop where we talk about hearing the voice of God and why sometimes we have to wait for a response. Look at the example of Daniel, you know, with the 21 days and the angel. You know, there's always reasons why we can't hear from God immediately, but ask, seek, knock, strengthen that part of your prayer life. Okay, I'm going to do a little practical equipping, just a way to hopefully enable you to be able to pray or respond prayerfully in any situation. But just think back through that actor's prayer model. How are you doing? Are you an A+? And again, there's not the expectation everybody's A+ at anything. Not everybody can be Mama Pam. A+, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, response from God, and supplication. Get a copy of the notes if you don't have it to grab these verses and just spend time with the Lord this week, even tonight, just saying, Lord, I was convicted today and I agree with you that I'm not as strong. It's a growth area for me. Some of us are like, oh God, I'm overwhelmed. I got to grow in all five of them. What do I do? It's okay. Ask for help. But may the Lord equip you to be strengthened in your prayer life there. I just want to give you all three ways, just a kind of a grid, a response algorithm. I keep using words like diagnostic tools. Everybody's like, Joey, what's wrong? Are you okay? An algorithm, a way that I respond to people that have a prayer request or have a need. And there's three different ways that I can respond. And I want to equip you guys so that hopefully you never have to turn somebody down because you don't know how to pray. You may not have people asking you to pray for you. I pray for them. I get that all the time because of my job. But I want to do that. And first, I just want to say, has anybody ever asked you to pray for something dumb? Anybody ever ask you to pray for something and you're like, I'm not praying for that. I'm going to have John Christ tell you a little bit more in a funnier way than I could do right now for 60 seconds.
You ever had someone ask you to pray for something so stupid, you're just like, I ain't praying for that. Yeah, some things you cannot pray for. My buddy's like, dude, can you pray for me? I was like, yeah, absolutely. What's going on? He goes, I got a drug test tomorrow. I need to pass it. I go, Nah, I'm not praying for that. I'm not praying. Some things you cannot pray for. Remember my nephew Malachi? Remember him? Remember that kid? My sister put in the family group text, she goes, pray for Malachi, he's having a tough day. And everybody in the group text is like, praying for Mali, we love him, supportive, praying hands, lifting him up. All I said was, I go, what's going on? And she texted me directly, you know how they backdoor text you? Yeah, yeah. She came around back, she goes, what do you mean? I go, what happened? She goes, he has tendonitis in his thumbs from holding the iPad. I go, I'm not praying for that, dude. I'm not putting that up to the God of the universe with my name on it. Just widows, orphans, missionaries. Allie wants to watch Paw Patrol. No.
Yes, Gary's not here. I showed John Crist on screen. I checked with Jonathan. Is it okay if I show a comedy clip? And last time I wanted to show Monty Python, but he talked me out of that from the last time I talked. So we got John Crist today. But I want to equip you. Somebody asks you to pray for them, stupid prayer request aside. Somebody asks you to pray for them about something. And sometimes I struggle with like, man, how do I approach that? And so there's three different ways you can intercede, or at least give some sort of positive response, some sort of godly, holy, Christ-like, releasing the attitude and the work of God into their life response. Number one, the golden standard, the ideal for me is like the word of faith. Like somebody says, would you pray for me and this thing? The dream is I'm walking so closely with the Lord, I immediately hear what the Lord says about that thing and I regurgitate it. I speak it with faith and prophesy over the situation. That's the ideal. That's what I want every time. Somebody says, can you pray for God to heal me? And I say, yes, be healed in Jesus' name. Boom, yeah, you healed. Yeah, no, that's great. That's happened before. That's my goal. And just know that is possible, okay? It's not all of us walk in that all the time. Just know, but that's the number one. That's the ideal. And the scriptural background for that, you know, Romans 14, 23, whatever is not from faith is sin. And then Romans 10, 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. So my ideal response when somebody has a need and they're asking me to intercede for them is I hear the voice of God and I respond with the words of God declaring the thing over the situation. I've got some time this morning, so I want to share a story that happened in the last week. And again, I don't walk in this rarefied air of excellence all the time, but we do this international prayer ministry called Pray for the Chosen. Anybody watch the Chosen TV series? Praise the Lord. It's excellent. They film like an hour from here. The G-Hop has taken a global role in uniting 500 people from all over the world on our prayer team to intercede weekly on Zoom. We have 5 international prayer teams. I've got different international leaders in different continents leading different weekly prayer teams. If you want more information, join us. It's really, really fun. We pray on Zoom every week. But one of my team leaders is in Argentina. She might be watching. Hi, Mariana, I'm going to tell your story. She said I could share the story across continents or whatever. So one of my team leaders was just contacting me about demonic oppression. And she just, it was really, really sweet. It's kind of the ideal way that this should work, is that she's a believer and she realized she'd accidentally taken part in something occult. And just innocently, not rebelliously, just unbelievingly gone to like a counselor that was, you know, getting her into like occult meditative practices that she didn't realize. And it had opened a door for the evil one into her life. And she was asking for prayer for deliverance. She knew she was oppressed, but she didn't know how. And my first response was, call Pastor James, he'll help you. But the Lord put me in there, so I had to go do it. And I called on WhatsApp last Friday, and I spent an hour casting out demons across WhatsApp from Argentina. And I was like, I don't usually walk in this, Lord, but thanks for using me. That's great. You know, it was pretty cool. I mean, she just would talk about what she's experiencing. And I happened to be connected with the Lord well enough, praise God, at the time, to hear that's because you agreed with this thing that's not true and the enemy has access to your life. And so I'm in there on WhatsApp for an hour and she's kind of loudly like wailing and Emma's playing with Josiah in the living room and kind of sticking her door and that, what's going on? Okay, it sounds like it's a good thing. It's going fine. And I'm just like, that spirit, leave her in Jesus' name. And she's like coughing and choking through WhatsApp. And it wasn't even a video call. I'm just having to use total discernment. Just, is this a good cough? Is this, it's leaving cough? Is that a wail of pain or is that a wail of freedom? I don't know. But the Lord did a masterful work over WhatsApp. I've never done that across continental lines before. I was kind of tired afterwards, but the Lord did a work. So that's the word of faith. That's the ideal response. Somebody comes to you and says, I'm experiencing demonic oppression in my life, or I have this illness and this infirmity or whatever. You hear from God. You say, this is what the Lord is saying. And you release it. That's the ideal. Step two, most common, prayer of faith. So step one, you got word of faith. That's the ideal. I wish I lived in that space all the time. I don't. Step two, prayer of faith. If I know the word about this topic they're asking for a prayer for, if I know the heart of God and the character of God about what they're asking me to pray for, I can release a prayer of faith. Again, remember, whatever is not from faith is sin. So don't be praying sinful prayers when you don't have a scripture to back up. Yes, Lord, bring them the Maserati. Lord, they're asking for this Lamborghini. God, I believe it's your will to... No, stop it. That's not a prayer of faith because there's no scripture to back that one up. And then there's the blessing of faith. Sometimes I go, I don't have a scripture to stand on. I don't know what to do to pray for this one, and some of those John Christ prayers, but I still want to be nice to them, right? I still want to, sometimes I'm in a place to rebuke them and say, you're being really fleshy right now, don't ask for that. But sometimes I need to just bless them, and the blessing is releasing the intention of God over somebody. Prayer, typically the intercession form of prayer, is asking God to do something on someone else's behalf. Blessing is saying, may the Lord do this for you. Not, God, would you do this for them? Blessing is, may the Lord do this for you. May the Lord be kind to you. May you know the kindness of God in that part of your life. And I can do that with a clear conscience and with a full heart and a loving eye, even when I'm like, I don't know what God wants to do in this situation, but I can say, I can always say, may God be kind to you. May you know the kindness and power of Jesus and his people in this situation. So I'm hoping that equips you as people, as the body of Christ, and people ask you to pray for them. You can release the word of faith, that's the ideal. You can release a prayer of faith because you know the Lord and you know his word and you know the kind of things that he would want to do for them. And you can release a blessing.